Matthew chapter 27. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read the first two verses, and then I'll direct you from there. We're going to jump down into the chapter some. Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2 will introduce you to the main character, at least the main character that we're going to focus on today, Pontius Pilate. Matthew chapter 27, verse 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Now, if you will, look down at verse number 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witnessed against thee?" And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, "Whither of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why, what evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail, that a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I appreciate, Lord, the opportunity to preach. Thank you for the sweet time of fellowship that I enjoyed, Lord, as you helped me to construct and put together this morning's message. I thank you for the sweet things that you taught me. And I pray, Lord, that what we have experienced, Lord, in the privacy of a study, we might all enjoy together now. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to each heart. Bless every single one who's made an effort to be here. And Lord, we need to hear from heaven. We've come now to the main event of the morning, the preaching of God's word. And I pray, Lord, that we would learn some things and be edified and helped. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to ask you to mark Matthew chapter number 27. And we will be returning there. But I'm going to ask you, before we get into the introduction of the message, to go to John chapter number 18. Every single gospel records for us an account of Pilate and his interaction with Jesus Christ. I think we sometimes call this the trial of Jesus, but maybe it should be called the trial of Pilate. The trial of Pilate. John chapter number 18, if you will, in verse number 28, John 18, 28. Bear with me and listen carefully as we read the scripture. Let's let all of the scripture speak concerning Jesus and his time before Pontius Pilate. Verse number 28, John chapter 18. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not to the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" Now, I'm going to point this out in a little while, but as I'm reading, I don't want to interrupt again. would you pay attention to the conversation that's carried on between Jesus and the rulers? Pontius Pilate and the rulers, and later Pontius Pilate and Jesus Christ. Listen to the questions. Listen carefully to the answers. Let's read verse 29 again. Pilate then went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" They answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee." Then said Pilate unto them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." The Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what death he should die." Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, saying, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, for I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" Then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Chapter 19, verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crowns of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." From thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and set down the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour. And he said unto the Jews, "Behold your king." And they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. Isn't that an awesome, moving portion of Scripture? It's been good for us to take this time to read these verses from Matthew chapter 27, and again, John chapter 18, John chapter 19. Let me have your full attention for the next few minutes. I believe that we're going to learn a lot this morning from the Bible. I want to introduce to you, first of all, Pilate. You understand that when Jesus was born, that the nation of Israel was under Roman occupation. Pilate was the Roman governor of Judea. Pilate reigned during the entire life of Christ, from the time he was born until after his crucifixion. During his life, he no doubt made many important decisions. None, though, held more significance than the one thrust upon him concerning the fate of an ex-carpenter turned self-proclaimed prophet, a man from Nazareth who went by the name of Jesus, but also was called the Christ. Pilate made one of the most disastrous decisions in the history of mankind. It was a tough decision. It was a turbulent decision. It was a terrible, terrible, terrible decision. This decision was thrust upon him without warning during a week that should have been filled with feasting and merriment. Like most huge decisions, it came without warning. Yet here it was, fraught with political pressure and potential personal peril. It fell upon Pilate to decide the earthly fate of the Son of God. Although Pilate's decision was allowed by Jehovah God in order to fulfill the promise to redeem all mankind from their sins, it does not dismiss Pilate's guilt or excuse his eternal liability. As Jesus once said in Matthew 18:7, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." This morning, our goal is to learn from Pontius Pilate. Now stay with me. Although we are right in condemning his sinful and selfish decision, if we do not learn why he made such a disastrous choice, we might find ourselves mimicking his mistake instead of learning from it. Everyone in this room must at key times in your life make difficult decisions. These often come without warning. In a few minutes, a few hours, maybe a few days, we can make a series of decisions that will brand us the rest of our lives as fools if we're not careful. What did Pilate do right, Brother Jerry? What did Pilate do wrong? What led him to make the worst decision of his life? And how could it have been prevented? And I want to preach out of this portion of Scripture, but give you something very, very practical, I think, this morning. I'm going to entitle the message, "How to Make Tough Decisions Well." How to make tough decisions well. You know, it's easy to make easy decisions. It's easy to make a call on the no-brainers. But it is hard, it's difficult, it's tough to make sometimes the hard, difficult decisions, especially if you're under a time frame or people are putting pressure on you. And if we're not careful, sometimes in those quick moments, we can make a disastrous decision. Pilate here made a disastrous decision, but I want to kind of take this process that he went through, put it under the microscope, because Pilate did, I think, a superb job of getting to the truth and figuring out what was right or what was wrong, and yet even with all of that accomplished, he made the wrong decision. So listen very carefully as I present to you some truths that I hope will help you today. How to make tough decisions well. Let me give you several points. Number one, before making a decision, always seek to discover the truth. The truth. Say the truth about what? Folks, truth is a constant. Truth is a person. Truth is found in a book. Jesus, at the end of the conversation that he had with Pilate in John chapter 19, he prompted Pilate to seek the truth. And Pilate gives this famous question, "What is truth?" Well, the honest truth is Pilate found the truth, but he didn't carry out and properly treat the truth in his decision. You say, "Well, Brother Jerry, how do you discover the truth?" If you're making a decision, if I've got a big decision, a tough decision, a hard decision, it's going to affect a lot of people and there's pressure being put on me from different areas. How do I make the right decision in that type of a situation? Let me show you how he discovered the truth. This is still under main point number one. Before making a decision, discover the truth. First of all, ask questions and listen to the answers. The one thing that you'll notice if you paid attention was that Pilate asked a lot of questions. Matter of fact, most of what Pilate said was a question.
Listen, this man may have been a pagan. I don't think for one second he was a Christian or even a respecter of the Jewish Jehovah God. But you know what? He wasn't where he was and didn't get where he was by being a dummy. And he knew that everybody was looking at this decision, and he felt pressure to make the right decision, so he asked a lot of questions. He had to make a decision. On this side was the chief elders and the priests. These are the respected leaders of Israel, of the Jewish people. On this side, there's this man that he's not maybe heard much about till this moment. And he asked the chief ruler's questions, but he also spent some time asking Jesus some questions. And I think that we see at the beginning here, Pilate making an honest effort to seek the truth. Now, this is something that's very important. Folks, listen to me. If there ought to ever be a group of people in the world today that's concerned about the truth, it ought to be Christians. That reverence the truth, it ought to be Christians. That tell the truth, it ought to be Christians. You see, I think the way that we treat the truth is the same way that we treat the Savior. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the truth was very important to Pilate, and he was going to ask questions and so that he could decipher what the truth was. What questions did he ask? Let me just share some of them with you without us going through all the scripture. He asked this question of the chief elders, if you will. He asked them a series of questions. He asked this, what accusations bring you against this man? Now notice their answer. If he were not a malefactor, we would not have brought him unto thee. Did that answer the question? They were a bit evasive, weren't they? They also added this in the other Gospels. We found this man perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King. Is that accurate? Absolutely not. It's a false accusation. He said, give unto God the things that are God and to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. He did not forbid them to pay tribute to Caesar, and he did not request the money. They worded that question as if he wanted the tribute instead of Caesar, which was an out-and-out lie. They answered this, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. By the way, the reaction to that question or that statement is very telling. We'll get to that in John chapter 19. As soon as they said that, Pilate shot back in, pulled Jesus back in privately and asked him some more questions. You see, I think Pilate sensed that something beyond the human realm was happening in front of him because some miraculous things was happening around him, and it was God cluing him in, God giving him opportunity. He asked him this question. This is interesting. Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? And you know what the answer was of the multitude? Yes, but they were stood up, if you will, by these chief priests and told what to say. And the answer was Barabbas. He asked this question. What shall I do then with Jesus? You know what their answer was? Let him be crucified. This is interesting. Here's another question. Why? What evil hath he done? You know what their answer was? Let him be crucified. Isn't that interesting? Now, Pilate's not a dummy. He's asking these questions on purpose and he's listening to the answers. And then we see that he asked Jesus Christ a series of questions. Can I review those for you? I'll cover all the questions from all four of the Gospels here that he asked Jesus. He asked him this, art thou King of the Jews? And Jesus' complete answer was, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? And what he was saying was, are you asking me this because you believe I am, or just because someone told you that I am? By the way, it's interesting how many times in the Gospels Jesus answers a question with a question. You know why? Because Jesus always wants us to examine us. Here Pilate's trying to examine Christ, and Christ is turning around and making him look in his own heart. Has he ever done that to you? How many times have I said to God, why? Or God, I don't understand this. Or ask God a question, and I hear not an answer, but a question come back. You know why? Because God's not interested in us examining him as much as he is us examining our own hearts. You see. He asked this question, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And you know what answer he got? Silence.
Here's another question. Whence art thou? Where did you come from? You know what he heard? Silence. You know, sometimes that's the best answer. Especially in this matter of answering false accusations. You know what? False accusations do not deserve an answer. They don't deserve an answer. Jesus thought, my goodness sakes, I think he thought this. If you had a lick of sense, you could see right through their lies. And by the way, Pilate was a pretty bright guy, and I think he had. Then he asked Jesus this question. Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou, not that I have the power to crucify thee and the power to release thee? I love this answer. Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin. You know what he was telling Pilate? You're just a tool. You're just an actor on a stage. You got thrust in the middle of this, and you wish you could be anywhere else, and you wish you could hand this off to anybody else, but guess what? We're here, son. That's what he was saying. And the only reason that you're going to be allowed to do what you're about to do is because it's given to you from above. That's the only reason you're able to do it. He asked this question, am I a Jew? Thine own rulers and the chief priests hath delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? His answer, my kingdom is not of this world, but if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered of the Jews, but now is my kingdom not of hence. Then he asked him this question, art thou a king then? And the answer, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Jesus starts talking about truth. And then he asks this last question. What is truth? And you know the answer he got? Silence. Because Jesus didn't have to say a word. Truth was standing in front of him. Now let me just say this, folks. If you're faced with a difficult decision, and you're being pressured, here's the main thing you've got to do. You need to find the truth. What does the truth say? Where does the truth lie? Ask the questions. Proverbs 18:13. He that answereth the manner before he heareth it is falling a shame unto him. Pilate didn't just go to one side and listen to them. He went to both sides. He asked the questions, and by the answers he discerned the truth. Number two, ask questions and listens to the answers. Number two, evaluate motive. Evaluate motive. Let me have you flip back to Matthew chapter number 27. Again, Pilate did so many things right here, then to fail in the end by making this disastrous decision, Matthew chapter number 27, verse number 18. Notice this, for Pilate knew that for envy they had delivered him. Mark 15:10 says this, for he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. You know what? Pretty soon, based on the answers that he was getting, he sensed that this group's motive was tainted. They only brought him up on these accusations because they were jealous of him, because they were envious of him. And yet, notice this, he does not discern a defective motive at all in what Jesus Christ is trying to do. A matter of fact, he's astounded that he's not standing up and defending himself. He's astounded because he knows these accusations hold no water. He can't figure out why Christ is willingly allowing this charade to go on and refusing to defend himself. Well, we know why, don't we? Because Jesus Christ was headed to an old rugged cross. He knew that he had to die according to the scriptures. He knew that he had to die the way the Bible predicted. And you know what? The Romans' way of putting them to death was death on the cross. And he was going to go that avenue so that the will of God could be fulfilled. Folks, once you ask questions and listen to answers, then you have to evaluate motive. Number three, listen to the Savior. Now, let me give you something, and I hope you get this. The words of God ought always to carry more weight than the opinions of men. The words of God ought to always carry more weight than the opinions of men. And so as you're gathering information,
If somebody's opinion says this, but there's a scripture that says this, then what you ought to do is pay attention to what the scripture says. If the chief elder says this, but Christ says this, I think I'd put a little more weight onto what Christ is trying to tell me. And you see, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Listen, I think when you are faced with a tough decision, what you have to do is, yes, ask the questions that ought to be asked and evaluate the motives behind what folks are asking you to do. But the main thing you need to do is thrust yourself into this book and seek the words of God and the wisdom of God, and don't make a decision till you've well heard out all that the Savior has to say to you on the subject. Listen, I pray that you're listening to me today, because there's so many Christians in this day and age that seem to be making so many wrong decisions. And I think we just are doing what's like what they talked about in the book of Judges, where everybody's just doing what's right in their own eyes. Folks, listen, I know there's minor decisions that maybe don't have much consequence, but there's a lot of major decisions that have major consequences, and you ought to make decisions the right way. And Pilate, God bless him, he's doing the right things. Before making a decision, discover the truth. Well, I don't know how to discover the truth. Ask questions and listen to the answer. Evaluate motive. But listen most of all to the Savior, to the words of God. And then based on those things, decide what is the right thing to do. Amen. Yes, sir. Decide what the right thing is to do. And Pilate did that. He did all of the things that I'm talking about. Well, wait a minute, Brother Jerry, I thought you said he made a wrong decision. He did ultimately make a wrong decision, but he went through the right process to get to the truth, and he knew the truth. I'll prove that to you. Pilate came to the right decision. He knew the right thing to do. How do you know that? Well, I'll just read some of his words. He said this, "I'm innocent of the blood of this just person." He said this, "I find in him no fault at all." He said this in Luke 23, "Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him, nor yet Herod. For I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him." Sounds like he figured things out. See, even after he condemned Jesus Christ to die, he ordered an inscription to be mounted on the cross above his head, the head of the dying Savior, that says this, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And they wanted him to take it down or at least edit it to say, well, put on there that he says he's the King of the Jews. And he said, "What I've written. So don't tell me that Pilate didn't find the truth. He found the truth. He spoke to the truth. He saw truth in the eyes of Jesus Christ. He knew what the right decision was. But you know what? Discovering what is right to do and doing what is right to do sometimes are two different things. You see, let me give you a statement here. Boy, this will help you. Most wrong decisions are made not because we do not know the right thing to do, but because we lack the courage to do the right thing. Let me say it again. Most wrong decisions are made not because we do not know the right thing to do, but because we lack the courage to do the right thing. Pilate knew what he should do. What should he have done? He should have freed Jesus Christ. He should have let him walk. He should not have handed him over to those Roman soldiers. He should have rebuked the chief elders and the scribes for wasting his time. But he didn't do that, even though he knew that Jesus was innocent. He made a wrong decision. You say, "Brother Jerry, how did he do that?" Well, number one, you want to know how to make tough decisions well? Before making a decision, discover the truth or discover what is right to do. But you know what? Just because you know that doesn't mean you're going to make the right decision. Let me give you a second thought. Number two, don't try to pass the buck.
Don't try to pass the buck. I'm not going to go there because of time. But Luke chapter 23, if you read that account of Christ's confrontation with Pontius Pilate, we see that Pontius Pilate sends Jesus to Herod. And you know what he was trying to do, folks? He didn't want to make this tough decision, so he tried to pass the buck. I'll tell you what, instead of me making this decision, I'm going to send you over to Herod, and I'm going to let him make the decision. That way, any political fallout will come down on him and not me. Now listen to me very carefully. He tried to get someone else to make the decision that was his to make. Let me give you a couple little pieces of wisdom under this. If the decision is not yours to make, then refer it to the person whose decision it is to make. If the decision is not yours to make, then refer it to the person whose decision it is to make. If the decision is yours to make, then don't try to pass the buck. Make the right decision. I think that'll help you. Sometimes we make a mistake because we're trying to make a decision on something that's not even our decision to make. Wives, there's some areas it's not your decision to make. It's your husband. Children, some areas it's not your decision to make. It's your parents. Employees, some areas it's not your decision to make. Can I say this to the local church? Folks, stay in your own backyard. Stop trying to make decisions that have nothing to do with you. You're out of your realm of authority. If it's your decision to make, then make it. If it's not your decision to make, then refer it to the person it is. But Pilate was the one who was responsible to make the decision. He tried to pass the buck. You know what, folks? You can try to pass the buck all you want to on tough decisions, but you're just delaying the fact that you are going to have to make that decision. Number three, let me give you this thought. All right, gentlemen, we can take this. Listen to your wife's input. Listen to your wife's input. Isn't it amazing? Matthew chapter 27. Let me read you verse 19. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Let me just ask you a fair question. I know we don't know the dynamics, but I think that if you understand a little bit about the culture here, how many times do you think Pilate is sitting at the judgment seat getting ready to make a decision as governor, and the wife, he sends a little note to him saying, "You ought to decide this"? Can I share this with you? That didn't happen very often. It may have never happened before this, and it may have never happened after this. You know why? Because it was Pilate's job to make the decision. He was the governor. And you know what? Excuse me, ladies, but her job was to go home and make cookies and make home nice for when he gets there. But isn't it interesting that God had orchestrated in her life a series of supernatural events that so disturbed her that she approached her husband and said, "In this area, we better walk cautiously. Don't go down this road. Don't have anything to do with this just man. I'm suffering many things of a dream." And listen to me, folks. If you've got a good, submissive Christian wife who for the most part allows you to lead your home, but from time to time she comes to you and says, "Honey, I know that ultimately it's your choice, but this is bothering me," you ought to listen to your wife's input. Now, ladies, if you cry wolf all the time, he's not going to listen to the important things. But I'm going to tell you something. I've never been ashamed to say this. My chief counselor of everybody and anybody in the world is my wife. I bounce more things off her and talk to her about more things than anything, than anybody else. By the way, that doesn't mean I always do what she says, but I listen to her input. Ladies, look up here. I just handed you an incredible gift. Do not abuse it. There's nothing more wonderful than a godly woman who provokes, exhorts, and encourages her husband to do right and to be faithful to God. And there's nothing more sad in the world than a woman who uses her wifely influence to undermine her husband spiritually And the Bible says a foolish woman teareth down her house with her own hands. You have great influence in your husband's life. You use it for right and use it for God. And this woman, I think, who normally would never interfere with the governor making decisions on cases and probably didn't care, sent a note this time and said, God's bothering me about this. And guys, when God burdens your wife about something, remember the two are one flesh. She is you and you are her. You ought to listen. Does that help? Number four, listen, I'm talking about how to make tough decisions well. Tough decisions well. Before even making a decision, discover the truth, discover what is scripturally, biblically right. And then, don't try to pass the decision off to somebody. Make it. Have the courage to make it. Next, listen to your wife's input. Number four, don't base your decision on its popularity. Now we see Pilate, he's got the right answer. It's not that hard. He's got the right answer. But he wants Herod to make it. He doesn't want it to come back that he made it. Hey guys, guess what? Sometimes we just have to man up and make the tough decisions and decide to do what's right. So what's Pilate do next? He's got the right decision and he wants to enact that decision, but he don't want to pull the trigger himself. So you know what he does next? He says, I got a plan. Oh, I just remember they got a custom. I know what I'll do. I won't have to make this decision. I will put it up to the crowd. I'll put it out to the gathering of the people here. And what I'll do is, let's see here. Now, they apparently don't like this Jesus guy. At least the leaders don't. But there's one criminal that I know they hate more than him because of what this guy has done. And by the way, we could spend a little time looking at Barabbas' life, but this was not a good guy. This was the Charles Manson of his day. This man was anti-patriotic. He'd caused insurrection, rioting in his own country. He was a murderer. He was a thief. This was a bad guy. And he said, everybody knows Barabbas. Everybody knows that if I let him loose, he will terrorize his own people. He'll prey upon his own kind. So they aren't going to say, let him go. They'd be too scared to turn him loose into society. So again, instead of making the right decision, what he does is he put it to a vote from the majority, from the crowd. He said, I'm a smart guy. I'll get Jesus off. He's innocent. They've just done this because they're jealous of him, so I'll bring Jesus out. By the way, if you'll notice what they did, he even demeaned Christ, punished Christ, had him scourged, and the crown of thorn and the robe on when they brought him out. Then they bring Barabbas out. And it's almost like, see, I've already punished him. We've already done enough. You can let him go. Now, who do you want? This king of the Jews that really hasn't done anybody any harm? Or do you want Barabbas, who you know if I turn him loose, he's going to go out and hurt one of your children. He's going to rape your wife. He's going to steal from you. He's going to cause some damage. He's going to light a fire. He's going to blow something up. He thought he had it figured out. You know why he was doing this? Because he didn't want to have to make a tough decision. Now, let me just share something with you, and I hope it'll help you. Get over wanting everybody to like you. Get over it. Get over wanting to be Mr. or Miss Popular. Get over it. Not all right decisions are popular decisions. Not all right decisions are popular decisions. And Pilate decided to put this decision in the hands of the crowd. He again was trying to avoid making a tough decision. He said basically, I'll rig this. I'm smarter than them. And they'll have to let this guy go. But guess what? They didn't let him go. And the leaders provoked the crowd. And folks, listen to me. You might be able to trot your Bible open and show me a few places when something was put to a vote that the right thing was voted on. But I bet you I can show you more places that when it's left to the majority, the wrong thing's done, not the right thing. Now, daddies, stop getting up on Sunday morning and taking a vote.
Honey, do you feel like going to church? Well, do you feel like going to church, Junior? Sally, do you feel like going to church? How about you? Do you feel like, okay, let's go 1, 2, 3. I guess we'll stay home. That's your decision. God's going to hold you responsible for that decision. That's your wife. That's your children. You're the leader of that home. That's your decision. Well, so-and-so don't want to go. Well, guess what? The right decision is not always the popular decision. This makes sense to you? Makes sense to you? Well, I got to thinking, family, and you know, the preacher's been preaching the wrong kind of music, and I've been kind of feeling bad about it. What do y'all think? You think we ought to try to take care of this? What do you think? What do you think? What are you doing? What are you doing? Hello? Well, I talked to him about it. You bus workers, am I hitting a chord here? Are your kids coming to church tomorrow? I don't know. Let me get them out here and let's take a vote. Come on. Everybody come here. Brother Bo wants to know if you're coming to church and how many. You want to go? You want to? What? What? Do you do that on Monday morning when it's time to send them to school? Is it more important for them to learn arithmetic or learn the Bible? Folks, I'm going to tell you, whether or not they can quote all 50 states and the capitals is not going to decide where they spend eternity. What? Craziness. Craziness. Boy, I want men to be men again. I want men to lead again. I'm not talking about being unkind. I'm not talking about being ridiculous. I'm talking about just making the right decision. Make the tough decision. Stand where you ought to stand. Stand on the Word of God. Do right. Lead your family right. Do the right thing. Be in church when you're supposed to be in church. Now, I mean, get involved. Do something for the Lord. You see. So don't base your decision on its popularity. Number five, don't base your decision on politics. Politics. John 19:12, read you that scripture. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. All of a sudden, Pilate was trying to figure out a way to let Jesus go. All of a sudden, they make this into a political issue. And all of a sudden, he realizes if he makes the right decision, he could lose his position of influence and prestige in the community. I hope you're getting this. I hope you're getting this. We let what people think. We let politics too many times sway us to make a wrong decision. Listen, folks, it doesn't matter what the politics is. What matters is what is right and what is wrong. Doesn't matter what's popular, what's right and what's wrong. What is right and what is wrong. And make decisions based on that. Brother Jerry, if I made some of the decisions that I should make, I wouldn't get promoted at my job place, at my place of employment. Well, you know what you're dealing with? Something called politics. Are you going to let politics make your decisions, or are you going to let the Word of God make your decisions? That making sense? If I made some of the lifestyle changes that you wanted me to make, or the Bible says to make, I wouldn't be able to carry on and be a big shot down at the lodge. Or are you going to let politics dictate what's right and wrong, or are you going to let the Word of God dictate what's right and wrong? Brother Jerry, I've been thinking about running for political office. I'm not even saying that that's necessarily wrong, but I'm going to tell you something. If you change your lifestyle because of politics, and you back up on your stand for Jesus Christ because of politics, shame on you. Amen? John chapter 19, verse 12. I'm telling you what, Pilate backed out of that real quick once all of a sudden he realized he might lose prestige with Caesar. Let me read the rest of the scripture there. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place which is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And you know what? He knew what was right, but he did what was wrong
because of politics. Because of politics. You men working in these companies, you know what I'm talking about. You men that are part of unions, you know what I'm talking about. There's certain things that if you're going to advance in certain areas, you know what? You might just have to trim your Christian sales a little bit. You might have to go to some restaurants you wouldn't go to or hang around in some parties that you wouldn't hang around. Let me tell you something. I don't know what the trade-off is, but it's not worth it. You do right because it's right. You don't do wrong as an excuse that something good's going to happen. You do right because it's right to do. You see. Let me give you this thought. Number six, remember you cannot make a wrong decision and then claim innocence. And I think this is the part that bothers me most of all. Okay, Pilate, you know what the right decision is. If you're going to make the wrong decision because it's popular, the wrong decision because you've ignored good counsel, the wrong decision because of politics, then don't ask for a pan of water and wash your hands and talk about how innocent you are of this just man. You're not innocent. You're guilty. You're guilty. You're guilty. By the way, you know who bears the responsibility and consequences for my wrong decisions? I do. Pilate, you've got to bear the consequences of your wrong decisions. And every one of us have to bear the consequences of our wrong decisions. And folks, listen to me. I'm 45. I've been around a while. How many times do you have to grab a hold of an electric fence before you figure out it shocks you? And at some point, right decisions are the right thing to do. No matter how you want to try to repackage it after the wrong decisions make or try to act innocent, if you made the decision, then you bear the consequences of it. So make right decisions so you can enjoy the rewards of a right decision. Amen. He made the last thing. Remember, you must live your life with the consequences of unwise decisions. You must live your life with the consequences of unwise decisions. Let me read this to you. I think it was fascinating. We're wrapping up, but stay with me. You see, wrong decisions, wrong major tough decisions have earthly consequences and eternal consequences. Let me read this out of Smith's Bible Dictionary. It says, the history of Pilate's condemnation of our Lord is related fully elsewhere. And he's talking about related outside of the scriptures. We learn from Josephus that Pilate's anxiety to avoid giving offense to Caesar did not save him from political disaster. The Samaritans were unquiet and rebellious. Pilate led his troops against them and defeated them easily enough. The Samaritans complained to the president of Syria, and he sent Pilate to Rome to answer their accusations before the emperor. When he reached it, he found Tiberius dead and Caius on the throne, AD 36. And this historian, Josephus, adds that soon afterwards, wearied with misfortunes, he killed himself. Wow. How many nights did he go to bed and dreamed about washing his hands? How many times did he close his eyes and he saw the piercing eyes of Jesus Christ and knew that he was talking the truth and knew that he'd condemned the Son of God? I mentioned this earlier, but when the Jews came and they saw him vacillating, they said, we have a law that he's claimed, that anyone who claims to be the Son of God be put to death. And I think at that moment something hit him. My wife's having dreams. I've heard stories that this man performs miracles. Maybe he is. And he immediately took him off the stage back into privacy and he asked him, from whence art thou? Where are you from? And Jesus would not answer him. You know why? He knew. He knew. Jesus just looked at him. But he made the decision anyway. Okay, Pilate, it's your decision to make. Make it. Well, because of it'll be a popular decision because of the politics. I think what I'm going to do is do this. I know it's not right, but I'm going to do this. Well, then you're going to suffer the consequences of it. Look right up here. I'm done. I've never seen the movie, but I read a little blurb about it.
There's a movie called The Burning Hell. Anybody ever seen it in here? You seen that movie? I never have. What I'm going to say is maybe correct, may not. But what I read is that there's a scene in that movie where as they're making their way through hell, they come upon Pontius Pilate. By the way, this isn't in the scriptures. It's just in a movie. But there's Pontius Pilate, and he's in front of flames that are lifting up, and he's taking his hands and trying to wash them off in the flames of hell. And he's crying out, "I'm innocent! I'm innocent! I'm innocent of the blood of this just man! I'm innocent!" But guess what? He wasn't innocent. He wasn't innocent. Oh, I wish I could. I wish I had time to sit down. I mean this. I wish I had time to sit down with every one of you young people in this room. That's 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. I wish I could sit down with you. Do you have any idea how many huge, important decisions you're going to make during those years? The right decisions, not always the popular decisions. The right decisions, not always the politically correct decision. Sometimes God's going to speak to your parents' heart or speak to your spouse's heart, speak to a pastor's heart, and somebody with a little bit of a connection to God's going to come and they're going to say some words of caution. Listen, listen, listen. We're not trying to run your life. We're not trying to dictate your decisions. You need to be wise because tough, hard decisions are coming. They come without much notification. Pressure's put on you. You can make wrong decisions and pay for them for a long, long, long time. So follow this little outline. Buy this tape. Get the CD for $2. Stick it in your truck or your car on the way to work and listen to it, listen to it, listen to it. Not because it was a great message, but if we don't learn from Pilate, we will end up being Pilate. We'll end up being Pilate. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you bless us, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to have a free will, God. You made us in your image. You allow us choices. I pray, God, that you'd help us to make good choices, right choices, godly choices. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless the invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Listen to me. I didn't talk much about this, but let me just say this. The most important decision you will ever make in your life is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus Christ said you must be born again. If you're here and you're not saved, Brother Jerry, I don't even know for sure what that means, I guess. If you died right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? On the timeline of your life, can you look back and find a place where someone took the Bible and showed you how to be saved? You understood the gospel, repented of your sins, and called out to Jesus Christ and asked Him to be your Savior? If you can't find that in your life, let me tell you something, you've come to a good place. Because we love you, we care about you. I have men and ladies that are trained to take the Bible and share it with anyone who may have questions about eternity, share with them how they can know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. I would love that opportunity. We would love to be able to talk to you about that. If you're here this morning without Christ as your Savior, we're going to sing a song of invitation. As soon as we begin to sing, if you'll slip from your pew to the nearest aisle and make your way down here, there's men waiting at the front, and they'll get someone to help you, get someone to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Christians, what are you facing? I have no idea what's going on right now in most of your lives. That's the honest truth. But you may be facing a big, hard, tough decision. And you know what? Let me just encourage you. Get to the Savior. Listen to the Savior. Listen to His words. Listen to His answers. There's always going to be riffraff around. There's always going to be the loud ones that are screaming. They don't really have anything to say, but they're screaming. Go to Jesus and listen to what He is trying to tell you and make a decision. That's the right decision. The decision that will please Him. Lord, bless our time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.